Hello and welcome. My name is Kevin Entwistle, and I will be your host today on Your Story is Our Story. We are joined by an extremely compassionate person today who is a co-founder of Backpacks for Life, with a mission to provide veterans with the resources that they have trouble providing for themselves. Reintegrating into society has many obstacles and often isn't always easy for veterans. Backpacks for Life is the support system that involves working to overcome a veteran's individual challenges as a team. While their mission is much more than just backpacks, their Bowery Pack, which was inspired by a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, was designed and engineered to not only sustain our homeless veterans during their time on the streets, but also serves as a vessel suitable for travel, hiking, and everyday needs. Not shockingly, Backpacks for Life advanced to the top three finalists in the Street Shares Foundation, and they are a top-rated nonprofit for 2018. They have been interviewed recently by MSNBC, and before we begin, please help me in giving a warm welcome to our guest, Alexa Modero. Alexa, we're so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, where does your story begin?
Oh, boy. So I'll start by saying I would have never dreamt I'd be in the nonprofit space, but that started for me about 4 years ago. I met our co-founder, Brett, at college. We've been dating for a very, very long time, so I'm kind of in that family military spouse role. And we founded the organization in 2014. So this was after our co-founder, Brett, who served with the Marine Corps, as you mentioned. He served a deployment in Afghanistan, arriving back home in 2013, and he really struggled, just having a hard time and kind of didn't know where to pick up. What was his purpose after the Marine Corps? You know, you're given this big duty to serve your country, and then after that, what's next, right? So we graduated college in 2014. Brett actually left college to go deploy, never ended up finishing college, but we did start Backpacks for Life right after that. Backpacks for Life for about 4 years was always a side hustle. So nights, weekends, we were always out at events, helping veterans when we could. I was working a job here in Manhattan, full-time in fashion at a company called Sam Edelman, and it wasn't until about literally a year ago from April 1st that I decided I need to put all my effort and energy into Backpacks for Life full-time. So I took on a full-time role as vice president. I oversee all our operations, making sure everything's sort of happening. It's definitely been a whirlwind, but it's so rewarding. It's such an incredible job, changing people's lives, and you're also running a business, so it's a little bit entrepreneurial as well.
And what did you find out when Brett came home? What resources were there before you guys started Backpacks for Life? Were there any?
Well, that's the problem. So there are tons of resources out there for veterans. And for Brett, it was having the trouble knowing which ones he was eligible for, navigating the resources, and when you're dealing with things like PTSD or, you know, anxiety, things like that, you don't even know where to begin. So it's all just very overwhelming. So that's where we sort of step in. Brett was very, very lucky to get involved with some great programs like Transcendental Meditation. They have a program here in the city called the David Lynch Foundation, which was great for Brett, and a lot of holistic approaches, but it took him a long time to get there. And for other veterans, some of them don't have that support system or a family to back them up and say, let's figure this out. Let's create a roadmap. So that's where we step in.
And I want to talk about your families real quick, too. What are they like?
So we've got an amazing support system. They are our volunteer staff. They're with us all day, every day. My sister was volunteering with us at our golf outing just yesterday, which is great. Our parents are super supportive. Brett's got an older brother who is in the law industry, so he's our lawyer, which is great. And also, you know, assists us in financial advising. And then my father as well is in the finance industry, so they're always there, you know, providing their expertise and helping us keep things going.
And I want to talk about a little bit of the community and what else you guys are providing, but just for a second, the actual backpacks, the Bowery Pack, you guys have distributed over 5,500 backpacks to veterans already.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's remarkable. You
know, this all started with a backpack. The name Backpacks for Life, everyone says, well, what is that? So we have two main programs. The first is distributing backpacks, and we fill these backpacks with toiletries, supplies, and resources and give them out to veterans nationwide. We've given out in 15 states now. I actually have three in my car that are going out to a veteran in Alabama and his kids today. So I'll be doing that after this, but you know, yes, it's a mobile home, but it's also that symbol of hope saying you are not forgotten. There is someone that cares about you. but it truly does serve as the mobile home. And about a year ago, you know, you mentioned the Bowery Pack. We decided, okay, we've got these backpacks we've been buying from outside suppliers. Why don't we make our own backpack that is specifically designed and engineered for our homeless veterans with various safety and security features? So we did that. Our backpack is patent pending. We included a lot of just little things that you don't think about. So at the sternum, there's a clip with a whistle. So if a veteran were in trouble, they could blow a whistle if they weren't able to scream. Inside the backpack, we've got an accordion-style sleep mat. So that helps prevent a barrier in the colder months and helps prevent hypothermia. It is a carry-on size bag. It's got a lot of durable, water-resistant materials. I mean, just really well-crafted to survive the streets, but also be that item that helps our veterans get off the streets as well.
And let's talk about the functionality. Like, what's inside the pack? How do you use it? Obviously, you've explained some of the features, but can you walk us through a little bit more about how I would use it on an ongoing basis? And is it just for homeless veterans? Can I use it?
Yeah, so what we're really marching towards is a one-for-one model. So similar to Tom's shoes, you know, when you buy a pair of shoes, one goes to, an underprivileged child. We are getting ourselves to that model. So we actually have the bag that is carry-on size so that you, as a regular consumer, can purchase our pack, use it if you're a traveler, a hiker. I mean, you can stuff the thing. We stuffed it with, like, towels and like t-shirts and a bunch of stuff, and we hiked with it in Portland just to see how it would be. But it's a perfect bag for that. It fits in the overhead carry-on compartments. So it's perfect for a consumer who is more that adventurer. And then it also serves for the veteran who needs something that's sturdy and durable. You know, one of the biggest features we added was the drawstring top, because a lot of veterans will jam pack their backpacks and then zip it and the zipper breaks. Then what do you do? So we created a drawstring type closure, and we also actually incorporated a sea bag type closure at the top, which is a military inspired type bag, and a locking mechanism. Having your bag be able to lock to itself or lock to a bedpost in a shelter or a bench post on the streets, that's the biggest thing. Veterans always said, my bag got stolen. So that was a huge, huge component that we factored in.
And is this a short-term solution, or is this something that will be a long-term solution for homeless or veterans?
I think it could be a little bit of both, because we're providing those immediate daily essentials inside the backpacks, your toiletries. So if they do get a chance to go to a shelter, they can take a shower, they can shave, they can brush their teeth. But it's also filled with resources. So that's saying, okay, do you need help with finances? Do you need help with just finding a recreational group? Do you need therapy? And that's where the long-term piece comes in. You know, we often say, we don't just hand out the backpack and say, see you later, good luck. We want to give the veteran the backpack and say, how else can we help you further?
Talk to us a little bit about the employment program going on. I want to pivot here.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's really exciting about the backpack is we are making it here in the U.S., which is something we really wanted to do. And yes, it makes it more expensive, but we care about bringing it here and keeping the jobs here. And what we're doing is, our manufacturer is down in Boone, North Carolina, so up in the high country, but there's a really great program out there called OVAT, which stands for One Veteran at a Time. And what they've done is they've partnered with a local university, Appalachian State University, to help student veterans get apprenticeship and internship opportunities. So they happen to be having our manufacturer as one of their partners. So they send student veterans in, they get to learn the textile manufacturing industry, 3D printing, all new top-of-the-line technologies, and then take that, put it on their resume so that when they are done with school, they can go out and get a job. So it's kind of this full-circle approach where we're helping veterans on the streets and helping those student veterans before they transition into the next part of their lives.
And it sounds like, too, you talked about the drawstring, that there's somewhat of input from these veterans. Are they helping at all with these programs? Are you getting any feedback from the people using these packs?
Yeah, so the entire design of the Bowery Pack was based on 4 years of feedback from vets. And finally, just this moment where we said, if the backpack doesn't exist, why don't we make it? And that's what led us to this. So we did rely heavily on feedback from veterans who live on the streets or in shelters.
And how many veterans are you speaking to weekly or even monthly?
I would say we're probably getting 2 to 3 veterans reaching out to us a week. They're calling us, emailing us nationwide. We're getting in touch with them through local law enforcement, first responders, other veteran service organizations saying, hey, I've got a veteran in your area and they need, for example, a new roof. Do you have a company that's, you know, willing to offer and provide free roofing. And we do. And that's where we connect all those dots.
And how do you handle all this inflow?
Do
you have a big team?
That's the golden question, right? So for about 4.5 years, it's been just Brett and I. But we have a very, very strong network of other veteran service providers here in the tri-state area that we can often refer out to. And then we just brought on another full-time employee at the beginning of April to help us because it is tough. It's hard to manage so many veterans, and we want to give each of them that quality, that care. But we have a very personalized and unique approach in the way that we serve them and that we listen to their story up front. We don't just hand them a stack of paperwork and say, fill this out. We want them to feel like a person and not a number. And that's been very successful, but we are a lean team, so it's definitely a lot of grit, a lot of after hours. Just this past Saturday, we were down in Hoboken, New Jersey, with a veteran that we're serving, just making sure all his paperwork's taken care of and seeing how he was doing. So,
and can you share with our listeners what this company means to you personally?
Yeah, obviously for me, Backpacks for Life holds a very special place in that I experienced the challenges that Brett faced from a different side. And I think from my perspective, my feeling is that I don't want other military spouses, other family members and support systems to feel like they're alone, because it can feel super daunting. Of course, you know what the military is, you know what deployment is like, but you're never in the shoes of the veteran. So you can't ever fully understand what they've seen or what they've gone through. And that was something that was super tough for me. So it's my mission to make sure that family members don't feel like they're alone, because for myself, you know, I was 23 at the time. What is a 23-year-old? You know, I was so inexperienced. I didn't know how to handle it. So for me, it was a tough time too. But, you know, Brett and I have been able to take what we've learned and what we went through and channel it into giving back to veterans.
And I want to speak to that a little bit more. When we were on the phone together, you had mentioned this aha moment for either veterans or homeless, that it might take a little while for them to navigate and figure out the help that they do need. What are some of those conversations like when people do decide, hey, you know what, I actually need some help, and how's that transition look?
Yeah, it's tough because each veteran has a different story. They might have dealt with the first thing and the last thing are the same, but the in-between is just so, so challenging. And the veteran, like you said, they have to want to get better. And it takes veterans a long time to get there. They're extremely proud of who they are and serving their country, as they should be. But oftentimes it's hard for them to take that back seat and say, okay, I need someone else to drive this ship, kind of thing. So our conversations have to tread lightly. Like I said, we try to personalize our approach and just listen to the veteran. Oftentimes they don't even know what they need in order to get better, you know? So we say, just tell us what's going on right now. And we take that and we internalize it and we think of all the different things that could maybe help, you know, in a different field that they didn't even realize they needed help with, but we help make that burden a little bit less for them. So it's definitely unique with each veteran. No case is the same, but we're up for the challenge.
That's amazing. And what's it like working with Brett?
Brett is an incredible, incredible person. He is full of passion and just always wanting to give back to his veterans. If it were midnight and he got a call from a vet, he'd be out there before you could even tell him, no, it's okay, we'll do it tomorrow. He'll get in his car, he'll drive to that veteran. He's extremely passionate about giving back, and he found his purpose again, and it was serving his other veterans. And what's really nice about it is we're that much more effective because Brett is a veteran who did struggle, so he can tell other veterans, I've been in your place. I've been in the same position as you, and I struggled, and I was so close to being down and out and losing everything I had, but here I am standing here today telling you, you can get better. And that's sometimes all a veteran might need. So he's definitely just an awesome person to be around, to inspire the rest of our group and all our volunteers. It's truly amazing to see how far he's come personally, and to be able to drive the ship of a nonprofit, it's like mind-blowing, you know? So it's rewarding to get to do it alongside him.
Well, hats off to both of you guys. It's remarkable what you're doing, and you're on a long road to success. What events are you guys putting on, and can our listeners participate? How can we get involved?
Yeah, so we just had our largest fundraiser of the year, our annual golf outing. We do this every springtime in New Jersey. It's a great event. Obviously, we have golfers come out, but we really like to focus on supporting our veteran-owned businesses. So we had a veteran-owned brewery called Backward Flag Brewing come out, a veteran-owned coffee company called Black Six Coffee, and then a cigar company called The Mobile Cigar Lounge. All dear friends of ours, but also veteran business owners, were doing amazing things. So that's a huge event. We love people to come out even to our dinner just to get to know who we are, the programs that we provide for our veterans, and to help us spread awareness. We also always put all our upcoming events online on our website. We do bocce ball tournaments. Those are always a really good time. We do a casino night up in Boston in the winter. So tons of ways to get involved at our fundraisers to just come out and have fun, but also learn about ways you can contribute.
Those who are spreading the awareness, what's the message that you want them to get across? What's the perception of Backpacks for Life?
So I think there is often a misconception of what a homeless veteran is. You know, you assume it's the guy sitting on the street corner holding up a sign, and it's not that. It could be a veteran that's sleeping in their car. It could be a veteran who's couch surfing and just hopping from motel to motel. They don't look like a homeless guy sitting on the street. Yes, there are some that are that way, but we got to break that stigma. And oftentimes people ask us, well, what can I do if I see a veteran? And we always say hello, thank them for their service, and give them food or water. You know, people often immediately think, let me give them money. But you're never sure what they're going to do with that money. So we always encourage, give them water, give them food. And that seems to work for us, but that's our biggest piece of advice. And just breaking the stigma, because they are people. And sometimes they've got their guard up because they've had a tough time and they've experienced things. But if you just crack a little bit at them, you might be able to have a really nice conversation.
And on this show, we talk a lot about philanthropy and different ways to engage different causes. Certainly, no doubt your cause is superiorly important. Is there anything that you've brought from Sam Edelman or your background or childhoods or families that you're trying to really, I don't want to use the word market, but to showcase the necessity and the unbelievable work that you guys are doing? What strategies are you using?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I graduated with a degree in public relations, didn't end up going into that field in my corporate job for the past 4 years, but I've been using those skills in the nonprofit space. But really, it's just telling the stories of veterans, because you could talk about it and say the statistics and talk about numbers and facts, but when you actually share a story of a veteran who, again, doesn't maybe look like your typical homeless veteran, but you tell their story and how they've been able to succeed, that's something that resonates with people and makes them realize that this is a real issue. So being able to share testimonials and things like that, that's the biggest piece that creates that awareness that compels people to want to share. Also, a lot of people have military ties in some way or another, whether their father, their grandfather, someone in their family line served. So a lot of people do have this feeling that they want to give back to veterans, but sometimes they just don't know how. But we've been able to succeed in just sharing those testimonials with our supporters.
And who are you talking to now? Who are you sharing these stories with?
So we have a very, very strong community. On Facebook, we have a very large community of supporters, but we're also sharing these stories with other veteran service organizations, because we're trying to not reinvent the wheel, but how do we take the services that exist that might be a little bit broken and maybe not serving our veterans as best they can, but innovating and just maybe tweaking them a little bit? How do we make this a more personalized service to our veterans? So we're speaking to those veteran service organizations too. And it's about working together. Collaborating with other veteran service groups is huge, because if we're all serving that same population together, they'll get better, because we can't do it all. And there are groups that do amazing things. We've got groups that do equine therapy, groups that take vintage cars and reconfigure them so disabled vets can drive them. I mean, so many cool, unique things that serve our veterans in niche ways, but we all need to work together to get where we're going.
And you talk about community. How about Bunker Labs? Do you want to share with us what that is and what you're doing there?
Yeah, so I volunteer with Bunker Labs, which is a national nonprofit that helps veteran entrepreneurs and military spouses start, grow, and scale their businesses. I am a chapter leader here in New York City, and there are chapters across the country, but it's just a great, robust program for veterans who are looking to start a business. They've got online programming, they've got local programming of monthly networking events where you come out, you hear a keynote speaker or a panel, and you just get to network with other veteran entrepreneurs. it's such a breath of fresh air being amongst other veterans who are go-getters. They just have that drive, and hearing about their amazing businesses. So they're all across the country. They're growing rapidly, but here in New York, it's a really robust team, and I'm honored to be part of it and watching other businesses grow. Backpacks for Life benefited tremendously from one of their programs, the Veterans in Residence program, and ended up with a Fox News segment, which just catapulted us into this new area where so many people were reaching out wanting to support. So they're a really big driver in helping veteran entrepreneurs get where they want to be as a small business owner.
And I'm sure there's many successful stories from that as well. Are you, as a company, you and Brett together, ever interested in finding ways to strategically partner with other philanthropists, foundations, or veterans?
Absolutely. I mean, we, for about 4 years, were only privately funded through private donors and fundraising events. But we're growing, and we're going after partnerships with foundations and grant funding because we need that to fuel our programs, to be able to have the bandwidth to provide for our veterans. So we're definitely looking for that. We do a lot of great collaborations with companies like Bombas Socks. They provide all the socks that go into our backpacks, which is amazing. We've gotten donations from Johnson & Johnson. We've done some great collaborations with corporate companies and foundations alike that just want to support and they want to give back. They care to give back to that veteran community.
And what are some of the major philanthropic endeavors for your team? Is it housing? Is it employment? Is it just generally gathering resources?
So we like to think of ourselves as the middleman. So there are tons of resources out there for veterans, and we're the ones that help bridge that gap and connect the veteran with the resources. But we go one step further. We help them fill out their applications. We drive them to their appointments. If there's an application fee of $20 and, you know, they're working a minimum wage job, we'll cover that application fee to keep that ball rolling, to keep the momentum going. So that's kind of the space that we fill.
And what was the Student Wishlist Project?
This was such an awesome project. So there's a New Jersey-based organization, Student Wishlist Project, that saw a need for kids who want to give back and be philanthropic, but there's no real way to do it. So what they do is they partner with organizations like Backpacks for Life and ask us for our wish list. And they create a wish list on Amazon and then give the kids the tools they need to go out and say, hey, I'm raising funds and I want to support Backpacks for Life. I want to give them toothpaste and hats and gloves. And it just allowed them a space to do it. And it was a great partnership. I mean, the kids were not only learning about veteran issues, but also getting to do something in their local community.
And is it just about, you talked about awareness, spreading awareness earlier. Who needs to be educated? Is it just kids? Is it us? Is it our parents?
It's everyone. I mean, I think, like I said, veterans touch people in so many different ways, whether it's a friend or family member that they know has an experience with the military. You know, it's definitely a bit more challenging to explain it all to kids, but there are ways to explain it in, you know, a way that they understand it and what the issues are that our veterans face. But we also, as civilians, I mean, myself included, just need to wrap our heads around what is it that our veterans are dealing with? You know, what are the programs available to them? So it's everyone.
And what do your friends think of all of this?
You know, it's so funny. In the beginning, I don't think my friends related, and, you know, none of them really experienced the military in the way that I did. So for me, it was tough to even convey what the work I was doing. But they're super, super supportive. I've got a great set of friends who are all friends with Brett and I from college. And, you know, they're super proud. And they always tell me, you're doing such incredible work. And I never can take a step back and realize it. You know, you're always on the grind. You're always hustling. How can I serve this veteran better? What can I do to make our programs more efficient? But I've got a great support system behind me.
And you're a female entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's kind of just fell into my lap, which is a little bit nutty. You know, I said to you before we got on here, I never thought I would end up in the nonprofit space, in the entrepreneur space. But it's a ride of a lifetime. I mean, yes, there are challenges and you have to overcome them all. But I'm using so many life skills, skills I learned in college, skills I didn't learn in college, and you're learning each and every day. And the veteran entrepreneur space is becoming such a large space where people are talking about how to create more veteran entrepreneurs, and being in that ecosystem, it's just really admirable because these veterans are just, they're grinders. So it kind of has helped me as a female entrepreneur to push even harder being around veterans. You know, you want to be as good as they are.
Of course. And what did you give up and what did you gain from all of this?
I mean, I definitely gave up the security of a job with benefits and, you know, retirement and that salary. And that was hard. That was a scary jump to make from that corporate world and say, I'm just going to let go. But as soon as I did it, I really haven't turned back. I've gained so much. I think my people skills, my public speaking, engaging, networking. I mean, the networking events that I've been able to attend and meeting such incredible people, both veteran and non-veteran. You just never know who you're going to meet and how they might be able to help you further your business.
How about imposter syndrome? When did you realize, okay, I'm an entrepreneur? And do you ever feel like, wow, am I really an entrepreneur?
Yeah, you know, I think when I first left my corporate job, I was like, I guess this is what the entrepreneur life is all about. But now, like I said, I can't imagine it any other way. Sometimes it's hard to take a step back and look at everything we've created, because when you're in the thick of it every day, you know, you're just thinking about what can we do next? What can we do better? But entrepreneurship is definitely risky. It's definitely an uphill battle day in and day out, but it's also the most rewarding, especially in the nonprofit space.
And what's your best day look like?
Oh gosh, a day on the beach? No, I'm joking. You know, just this past Saturday, we met with a veteran we've been working with for a couple months now. And he's actually the veteran that was featured in our MSNBC interview. And we've been working so hard to get him into permanent housing, and he's working at a temp agency and he's doing well, but sometimes he gets caught up and he just needs to be sat down with and, you know, hang out, sort of reconfirm where he's at. And that's what we did this past Saturday. We went to Hoboken Terminal, sat down with him, got on the computer, went over a few notes, connected with him and his caseworker. We're all working together. And he felt relieved at the end of the session. We came into the session and he was super frustrated and confused. And then at the end of the session, he felt really, really good and really confident because we were able to sit there and help him realize everything that's going on. And sometimes they can't put the pieces together themselves. So that was such a rewarding, like, perfect day for me to be able to know that we, you know, sat down, put all the ducks in a row, and let this veteran know it's okay and we're still here to help you get to the next point.
That's remarkable. And how do you keep up with all of your homeless veterans or your, you know, people you're working with?
You know, it's tough and it goes in and out. So some veterans we'll work with, they'll kind of go on their own, we'll give them all the tools and resources, and then they'll come back to us and send us a picture and say, hey, this is my daughter, Christmas, you know, we're doing so well. And that's, you know, amazing to see. Sometimes veterans we work with will send us trinkets in the mail. We had a veteran, his daughter sent us a wind chime. It's like a little birdhouse wind chime and just decorated it for us, you know. So, you know, we get to keep in touch with them as much as they like, and they come back. You never know when they're going to come back, but it's always just so great to catch up with them and coach them and mentor them and say, how are you guys doing? What else can we provide? And maybe it is something different. You know, they're doing well, but maybe they're like, you know what, now I need a recreational group to be part of. I need camaraderie. So, you know, we're able to keep in touch with them. Again, if they're homeless, it's a little bit tricky because maybe they don't have access to a cell phone or a computer and it's only at a public library. But we always reach out. We always try to say, hey, we're here if you need us. So just keeping that line of communication open.
You're a backbone, and it seems like there's a lot of scaffolding.
Yeah,
the process. Yeah,
absolutely.
And what I kind of want to lead us towards some of the personal questions to conclude here. But before we do that, what's the ultimate vision? So before you answer that, and I'll give you a second to think, you guys are a product. You have backpacks, and you're also a service. You have a community, a network. Do you ultimately want to partner with a North Face or to work more with product? Do you want to partner more with these organizations, or do you, what is the vision, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and we've started to think about that more and more. We're in our fifth year now, and we're growing and we're scaling. But for us, our backpack, getting it into as many hands of veterans as we can. And funny enough, we've been contacted by veteran service organizations and VA groups, VA outpatient clinics. They've been reaching out to us saying, hi, we love your concept. We love your backpack. Can we get your backpacks and equip our veterans in our area with the tools that we know work here? And that's sort of the model we're going after. We've thought about some partnerships as far as brands for the backpack. We're not totally there yet, but that's definitely something that we want to continue, because that's that first boots on the ground effort to give them a physical something that is symbolically something, but also a mobile home. So, you know, continuing and making that program as robust as possible. I mean, we've distributed backpacks in 15 states. I would love for it to be all 50 states. I'm not sure how quickly we'll get there, but we're on the right track. And, you know, just keeping our coaching and mentorship program as robust as it is and bringing on more veterans who can help us work with the vets that we see every day, ones that are doing well, that are successful, that are willing to coach and mentor and be hands-on with our vets that need it.
And you mentioned the community. You derive a lot of energy and excitement from these veterans. But who else besides them are your personal heroes, either from childhood or now?
I mean, as a civilian, as someone who never had any military relation, I mean, my grandfather served. He died while I was young, and I didn't know much about his time in the Marines. So he was in the Marines, Brett was in the Marines, but like veterans who overcome adversity, like those are the people I look up to. The military spouses who are moving often, they're dealing with a active duty soldier who's on deployment. Those are the people that I look up to, because you don't really know it until you're in the thick of it. And now that I'm in the thick of it, like, I have such admiration for those people. Like, those people are my heroes. And that sounds cliche. Like, of course, veterans are your heroes, but you really don't know how much they give to you. So I would say definitely they're my heroes, for sure.
And military, I mean, there's a lot of discipline and technique in that. And they speak a lot about leadership. What type of leadership do you and Brett subscribe to?
I think it's fall down 7 times, stand up 8. I mean, you're going to face a ton of no's, and there's no dumb question to ask. You have to ask those questions. You have to break down the doors. You have to follow up with people. That's the kind of leadership that we believe in and that we use. We are constantly following up with people, reaching back out to people, keeping open lines of communication, and that's just being the front of the line, you know, being boots on the ground and showing people what we do. Not saying it, but showing it. So if it's a Friday night at 8 p.m., everyone's going out to dinner, and Brett and I are getting Wendy's to bring to a veteran who's staying at a motel for a few days, we're going to show you that, because that's what we're doing. And I think actions speak louder than words, and that's definitely our sort of leadership mantra.
And leave one last message for your listeners, either thinking about starting their own company or initiative, or those who might be interested in joining this cause.
If you're going to start your own initiative and you're thinking about it, you've mulled it over, all I can say is rip the Band-Aid off. As soon as I did it, I felt a sense of relief and also a sense of energy to get things done. It's such an exciting, rewarding thing to do, and, you know, write your own story. That's what I love. I've got this unique story to now tell, and I also get to serve others and leave this world a better place than I found it. And that might sound a little cliche, but, you know, that's what we're here to do, leave this world a little bit better than the way we found it. And if I can do that in the veteran space, that's all I need.
Alexa, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here and share a cause with you guys.
And thank you all for tuning into this episode. Please feel free to leave a comment or tag a friend who might be interested in learning more. If anyone is interested in learning more about Alexa or Backpacks for Life, you can find them at backpacksforlife.org or on Instagram or Facebook. And have a great day, and we'll be back more with entrepreneurs and philanthropists soon. Take care.